Good morning, everybody. This is Howard Partridge, and I am with the amazing...
Ellen Rohr!
Yes, actually...
And Santiago!
Yes, and he's getting on a call right now, but Ellen is here, and I am with Ellen. How about that?
Okay, that's it, because I just saw Santi disappear. We were just chatting it up, and we're going to continue this conversation now with you as we dig into phenomenal team building, a better way to pay. And Howard, you early bird, you are visiting us from beautiful Hawaii.
Hawaii, aloha. It is 5:01 a.m. over here, and I just wanted to jump on and give those folks who are not yet Inner Circle members an opportunity to learn about us. But I want to make sure that everybody can hear us okay. I noticed there's a lot of people coming in by phone. If you guys can type in that you can hear us okay, that way we'll make sure that we're all connected good.
Aloha.
Yes or yes?
There's
loud
Ellen.
And clear. All right.
Hi.
Sounds good. Okay, good. So, as many of you know, probably about half of the folks on here are already Inner Circle members with us, and the systems where we support you, coach you, and help you take your business to the next level. And what we wanted to do is just give you a free gift, and that is a phone consultation with Santiago, which is a $300 value, and he'll help you think about your business right now, where you are, where you want to go, and give you some really, really good advice. And then if you'd like to learn more about the Inner Circle, he'll help you with that. And then next week, I'll get on and I'll do an actual presentation. So if you're even halfway interested in getting involved with us, then you'll want to be on next week, and I'll just take a few minutes on the webinar to do a little PowerPoint presentation and walk you through the benefits of the Inner Circle. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to get my team, actually I'll get them to send you guys a link. We'll probably put it in the chat right here, and it's a scheduling link for Santiago so that you can schedule that appointment with him. If not, it'll come by email. Fair enough?
Fair enough.
Okay.
Yay.
Thanks,
well, Howard, how about one, before you disappear, how about one aha moment that you've had? We were in Hawaii together with a group of phenomenal dreamers this last week. And why don't you share a thought or a takeaway that you've had from just spending time thinking about your highest goals and dreams?
Sure. So we did a private mastermind over here in Hawaii, and the reason that we did that is because on the Financial Blast webinar, I think it was the last series that Ellen and I did together, she said that she had we were talking about dreams and goals, and she said, I have a goal to go to all 50 states, and I've been to 49. And I said, well, which one have you not been to? And she said, Hawaii. And I said, well, we have to fix that. I've been to Hawaii many, many times, and let's go to Hawaii. And she said, what do you mean? I said, we'll just put a mastermind together, and we'll go to Hawaii. So we did. And I think the biggest thing that I got out of it was just the validation of the value of higher thinking, the importance of a dream, because, you know, we get so involved in our businesses and the day-to-day, the mundane, doing the work of the business, which is important, and what you guys are doing on here is very, very important. But without a dream, there's really no meaning. Without a dream, there's really no passion. There's no fuel. And your dream is the fuel of your life. Now, we spent a lot of time doing, you know, solving business problems and things like that, but with people who are thinking at a higher level. John Maxwell said the most important thing that a leader can do is think. And we have to have some sort of vision out there that's personal, and that's solving a problem in the world, I think, to have the real passion and purpose that we need that then causes us to work harder in our business. And there's no better place to do it than Hawaii. So just to see people get the breakthroughs and to validate for myself that that it's important to do that. It's important to work on the business. It's important to work on your life. And the last night that we had together as a group around dinner, everybody shared a different quote. And one of the ones that I liked the most was from Danielle. And it says, with dreams and love, there are no impossibilities.
Oh, you're going to love this, Howard. You are going to love this. Of all the quotes that you sent around, this is the one that I'm including in my presentation today.
Can you see my screen? Yes, awesome.
So that, because we did the, Howard was making memes out of all the quotes and everything, and that's the one I picked for today.
Awesome. And that's a picture that I took right here in Hawaii. So I just took the pictures that I took in Hawaii, and I have a little app called InstaQuote that I learned from Santiago. It seems like everything that I learn these days, I learned from Santiago. But anyway, so you can make these little quote boards, which are amazing. So awesome.
Yeah, I loved it too, and I love, love, love you, and thanks for helping dreams come true. It is very much a theme of our webinar number 5 today. So let's get started with the better way to pay, shall we? Thank you, Howard, for participating.
Thank you, Ellen. Love you guys, and we'll put that link in the chat here in a little bit, and we will also send it out by email, okay?
That'd be great. And then if we could put it on the Facebook page, too, that's a great way to get in touch with everybody. Thanks for taking good care of us over here.
Sounds good.
On the mainland. Love, love, love. Have fun.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Let me dig into those thoughts a little bit today. The Better Way to Pay webinar. This is webinar number 5 today, 5 of 6. As we're going through this process, one member of the team, Miss Linda, I don't know if she's on yet today, Linda said, you know, we could spend all 6 weeks on just the org chart. This is a whole bunch of content. Let me know if that resonates with you. Type in the answer box like, wow, this is a lot of content that we're going through in the Better Way to Pay program. I will totally take that. And I was thinking of this, and I thought, well, I packed a lot of information in because this is a robust topic. The intention of this webinar series is to introduce you to the whole of coming up with a great game for your team, a compensation and bonus program that is part of building your team. As Howard Partridge says, if you have a dream and you have a team, you gotta give up the dream till you can get a team. You can't do your greatest work without collaboration with other people. Consider this webinar series the overview and embrace the opportunity to dig deep on some of these topics as you go. There's no rush. Hopefully one of the things I've communicated throughout the course of our time together is pause, get your thoughts together, put your plan together, and bring your team in to revamp, review, update the way you pay. It will trigger more projects for your master projects list and then ultimately your top projects list. We're going to dig into the master projects list and getting projects done for our last class, our last webinar, which will be next week. There's a ton of information here. It doesn't mean you have to master every little piece of it. So my encouragement is, let the overview inform you as to the whole process and allow yourself the time and the energy to dig deep as you need to get these pieces done. As you put the compensation and bonus plan together, do your org chart. Like Rick, we're still struggling with the org chart. Totally get it. The org chart's never done. One of the reasons why I didn't encourage you to do it in Excel is because it's time-consuming to do it in Excel. I gave you some examples, and I'll show you the one that we've got in the PDF. It's easier to do it with Post-its on a dry erase board or a big wall in your company because it moves. So you'll say, this task, you know, this person right here is doing these tasks associated with that position. Maybe we should put them over here. maybe we should have this position report to that position. As you and your team explore this, you'll notice that the org chart is dynamic. So as Mark Victor Hansen says, do your best work and then stand on its shoulders and make it better. All right, let me just check the questions. Is there no video of the webinar? I thought there was a video of the webinar. Let's go take a peek because I want to, where do I have, right here. Okay, I want to make sure that we review this page. So this is 1, 2, 3, 4. There's 4. And then there's the audio right below it. So I think we're good, Ellen. You know what can happen? If you don't refresh your page, it may not come up. I'll give you the heads up on that. Does that make sense? So, Ellen, no video of 4, 1, 2, 3. Yes, is this not it? 1, 2, 3, 4. I think it's there. Or I'm looking at it. Can you guys see it? Let me know. All right. And I'll jot down that to have Victoria or Dana check it for us. Thank you. All right. So this is what's happening. We've got a webinar right now. We've got office hours coming up on Tuesday. So from 6:30 to 8 p.m. Central Time is the office hours. It's a GoToWebinar. And I bring no agenda. You bring yourself. We talk about whatever you want. If you've got stuff to show, great. I'm not recording office hours. So you come and share, but there is a higher level of anonymity. In other words, you know, we're not going to record. Whatever you say is just going to be us chickens. So take advantage of my time together. Every now and then, too, if you send me an email, and it's a big question, I always tease people, Ellen, quick question, how do you buy a company? And then I might respond back, quick question, not a quick answer. And my typing skills are limited. If you send me an email and I'm in a position where I could call you, I may call you. And that's what happened with me and Jeff yesterday. And I see, Jeff, you're on the phone today. Yay. So if you're ready at some point this morning, I'm going to call on you to share our experiences from our phone call yesterday because I gave you an assignment and I'm excited to hear how it went. So take advantage of my help. If you have reached out for me and I have not responded, please let me know. Give me another swing. I get thousands of emails. If I missed you, it wasn't intentional that I did not respond back. So if you sent something over and I didn't respond, let me know that. And be prepared for me to just call. Why not? And we might be able to hammer something out together. How cool that Howard loved this quote best of all, and that's the one that I picked. It's you know, we get stuck in the details. How much should I pay per hour? I've got this bonus. I've got this contest. My team is driving me crazy. Jeff and I were laughing about something that he's done that really doesn't make any sense. Well, this stuff happens. When the dream, the goal, the mission of your company is compelling enough, these details take their proper scope. If you can discover from your team members what they really, really want out of life, and some of them have not been dreaming very much, you start this conversation and listen to them and find ways that what they want could align with the job that they have, you're going to have a lot more success with getting them to do some of the housekeeping things that nobody wants to do. Wear the scratchy uniform. Show up at 6 a.m., whatever it is. People will do that if they love the people they work with, if they feel respected and seen, and if that job aligns with what they really, really want. If you're getting a lot of struggle and pushback on these topics, look up pick that point on the horizon, as Howard says, craft something really, really compelling, and ultimately that dream will be something that has an impact across the world. I'll tell you, when I first started figuring out business and getting off the hamster wheel and being intentional about creating the business, my vision and mission were goals were to get out of debt, to make some money for my family, to quit working 24 hours a day, to stop fighting all the time about everything. My vision wasn't as big as it is now. That will come for you, and it'll come for your team if you initiate this conversation. Thoughts on this as we press on? There's details. I've got stuff. I've got some more forms I put out. All of that takes its proper scope if the vision is clear enough. Do you want to create really great careers at your company, or do you just want people to do their jobs? Do you feel the difference in the energy of that and your ability to sell them on why they would want to do some of the housekeeping things you have them do? Office hours, yes, is 6:37 Central, 7:30 Eastern. And let's hear, could the staff repost the link to the replay page? Maybe send it out in an email. They could. Jason, do you do Facebook? Is that, or no? Is that the challenge for you? Because it's there. And I can do it now. In fact, I'm going to ask Santi if he will. Oh, I can do it as fast as I can ask him. Hold on, let me just send it right here. And here it is. And it's always this. This is not changing. All of the information is on here. And I'm going to paste it in the chat box. And it's going out to the entire audience. And then, Jason, I'm going to respond to your question. There you go. Let me go. So that should go. You should. Everybody on the call should be able to catch that. Okay, not a Facebooker. I would love it in an email so I can save it. You can save it right now. Tessa, you got it? Everybody got it? I'm going to challenge you. Do you need an email? Or can you go get it right now? It's right there. Copy, paste, put it in your browser. There you go. That just has a little bit of energy of putting on me what you can do for yourself right now. And so there you go. Ha! I love the pop quiz. Can you do that right now? Yes, you can. All right, so let's get back to the content for today. Okay, so we have six webinars all together. We didn't have one last week. We've had two office hours. We're gonna have a third office hour on this coming Tuesday on the 6th. 6:30 Central Time. Do the math for your time zone. Today's topic is to unpack the toolkit. So we're going to review the information, the tools, the forms, the tools is the best word I can think of, that we've presented in a better way to pay, and see if we can hammer out some of the details. I added a couple of tools to the replay page today. So we're going to spend some time on the replay page. No reason while I am talking, you don't also go to the replay page with me today as you listen and can explore this. Woohoo! The information that I share with you comes from my personal experience with, at this point, thousands of clients. And most importantly, with my current lab, I'm an owner of Zoom Drain, a franchise company. We're crafting documents now for our fifth franchisee. Pretty exciting. Our goal is to be at 10 franchisees by the end of 2017. So we're on track for that. The point I want to make is I am not sharing with you information that is from the ivory tower. Everything that I share with you is something I've used to varying degrees of success. It's also not the only way. So it's real. It's real life. It doesn't work 100% of the time. There are out points of everything that I share with you. All of it is customizable. You take what you need and leave the rest, as they say in AA. You can review with me. Yay, good. Thanks, Tessa. Thanks, Jason. You can review with me your swing, So if you are inspired by something I put out and you go, but for our business, we want to do it a little differently, that's a great reason to send me your form, your homework, or say, Ellen, do you have time for a quick call? If I don't, we'll schedule it. If I do, I might call you right then. One of the things, a tactical thing that you can start doing right now is spending time, we talked about this last webinar, in a ride-along, in a side-by-side, when you take a shift, ask your team members to tell me about your dreams. One of the exercises we did when we were in Hawaii at the leadership conference is we had to approach a stranger and ask them about their dreams. I didn't have one person who didn't play with me. There were some conversations that people had that got awkward in our group. Mine didn't. I was surprised. So you're checking out at the store, you're buying something, and you say, you know, here you are in Hawaii. Was that a dream of yours to move here? Tell me about your dreams. And people launched into it. Some people said, no one's ever asked me that before, which was interesting. The reason we did it was an exercise. If you travel with Howard Partridge, he asks everybody this question. The cab driver, the person at the counter at the hotel, our waiters, our waitresses, everyone. And this is a good question to get in the habit of asking. Ask and listen. Howard is teaching me more than anything else recently the power of asking questions and not just telling. Now, I'm breaking the rule right now because during the webinar I'm going to share a ton of information. As we get to the Q&A, I'll ask more questions of you. What I'm finding is it is the question that leads to the dialogue. To be sure to ask the big ones. All right, so a little review. Review the replay page. You've got plenty of time. I heartily encourage you to review the replay page with some people on your team you want to bring into this process. Do you have a manager? Do you have a right-hand person? You could share it with anybody on your team. You may be selective as to who you introduce this information to first so that you don't overwhelm yourself. You are well served to get someone else on your team helping you put a new or refined way to pay together. You've got the checklist. I'm going to go over there in a second. Your org chart, clean it up. The reason why, well, the org chart is really such a foundational piece for team build, for creating some organization at your company, which seems to be a challenge for a lot of people. It was also my tool for cleaning up the biggest inequities. The other stuff can wait. If there's no major inequity going on at your company in terms of how you pay, and by that I mean there's a man who makes more than a woman just because he's a man, you got to clean that up ASAP. I've also said if you are I'll just say you're always well served to check with an HR professional or a labor lawyer to make sure your way to pay is fair. Some of the challenges that I've seen that have come up, like if you do some kind of a commission structure, but then you have to also convert it to an hourly wage to make sure you're in compliance with the labor laws in your state, you better find out about that. And that's your job, not my job. So a reminder to put on your big panties. We are wrapping up the year. The Financial Blast, if you're part of the Inner Circle, is a program that's available to you. I'm really proud of that program. It is 90% great. And the 10% where I talk too much, like this one, just fast forward through. Meet with your team members individually before you post anything. Jeff, you and I talked yesterday about that, you know, putting the post up on the bulletin board or sending the email. Email is a very difficult form of communication. It should be for just very basic information. You can't use sarcasm. You can't use humor. You have to be a pretty good writer to pull that off. It's so important to document the details. An email is great for that, and so is a written procedure. And on these higher level conversations, how do you feel about this? Do you think this is fair? Do you think we could improve on something like that? That's very difficult to do in an email. You're going to have conversations with team members individually and then in a group as you then document how you're going to pay. Alrighty, so what else? Let me move this so I can see it. The Facebook group is great if you do Facebook. You can always email me. My email is ellen@ellenroar.com. Oh, there you go. And then Asante also put in the chat box, if you're not an Inner Circle member, schedule, or Howard did this, schedule with Asante for a free consultation. Check your chat boxes. There's another link there. That's really good, that scheduler for Asante. Asante is one of the brightest people on the planet and getting increasingly so because he is a lifelong learner, that guy. And then I'm also putting in my email address. Woo-hoo! All right, let's continue on with the housekeeping. Okay, so I'm going to go over to the page itself, all right, and we're going to scroll through this together. So for those of you who have, oh, yeah, that's right, everything's right here, here it is. This is the page, this is the link, and here's what the resources are. What I love about this is every resource is on one page for this program. We're going to leave it up. You don't have to download stuff instantly, but you can, and we'll let you know with plenty of time before we take this down. The Financial Blast is still up for those folks who participate in the program. So you'll have the video and the audio in case you want to listen to it in the car when you go for a run. And then number five, see, it's right above it. That, I think, is what was confusing. The videos are above the little word that says the title. We didn't have a webinar, so this is where this one's going to be. So unpacking the toolkit, we're also going to talk about different ways to pay tools. Is salary more appropriate? Hourly, commission? I'm going to give you some ideas for which positions lend themselves to different ways to pay. Contests, cherry on top, that kind of thing. Now, this checklist is worth the price of admission times 1,000. How nice to have just a laundry list of the things that you could do to make sure that the way you pay your people is fair, is reasonable, aligns with their motivation. Let me hear a little feedback. Has anyone taken the checklist and really made it their own, done some customization, downloaded it as a Word document, and edited it up a little bit? What do you got? Anything for? Hey, can y'all hear me okay? I just got a warning that my audio might be cutting in and out. You got it? You there? Let me know that you can hear me as well as, yeah, okay, can hear you, okay, sort of as a roadmap, sound is fine, okay, audio is good, okay, good, 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 sorry about that. It just came across on my GoToMeeting and I thought, wait, what? Okay, so the roadmap of implementation, that's it exactly, Chip. You can establish the due dates here. Don't make yourself nuts. There's a lot in this program. There's a lot to do. You'll never be finished with refining the way you reward the team members on your team. You're going to keep coming up with ideas. You're going to have to, you'll make it fancy. You'll have to weed it back down again. Good stuff. I'm just scrolling through to remind you of this tool, how you're going to use this. If you want to send me your tool, awesome. You know, this checklist and say, hey, customize it. What do you think? I'll take a peek. All right. The other tools here, one of the references I'm going to make today in this class today is this Bare Bones Biz Plan. In this book, in the Bare Bones Biz Plan book, there is a, I don't want to open it because it seems to be, I'm going to limit the bandwidth here if I keep opening everything. But this Bare Bones Biz Plan is a book that I wrote. And in week six, it's a 6-week plan, in week six, there is an exercise called super thinking. We're going to be talking about that in the course of our class today. There's the employer-employee manual. Start with clean, sober, on-time, dress right. Get some procedures in place. We've got some org charts. I added a couple of tools here that I didn't have last time that I want to point out, and we're going to get to them in just a minute. There's the CSR scorecard, another sample scorecard for you, and a procedure. Let me show you this. I'll show you the procedure when we get that far. All right, so I've added a couple more tools. Someone said, well, what is a procedure? And I thought, oh, let me give you a sample. So we've got that too. All right, so that's on the replay page. That's where those resources are. You're on fire. You're so cute. Thanks, Perry. All right, and why is that happening? Let's see if I can go from current slide. I'm going to have to shut that down. Oh, I tell you, I love GoToMeeting except for when it doesn't work. Oh, okay. I got it. That was just me. All right. So let's remind ourselves of what a better way to pay is. As you're putting this together, I thought, wow, let's regroup and go to the big picture today as we dive into these tools. It'll make the tools make more sense. A better way to pay is a good game. I'm going to redefine a good game in just a minute. It rewards the right behavior. The classic example, which many of you have fallen into, is when you're rewarding someone for, you pay them if they show up on time, what you're really doing is just putting a price tag on showing up late. If I show up late, I just don't get that little thing. That's fine. We're actually rewarding the wrong behavior with some of the things that we've done. And you won't know. Sometimes you'll think it's a good idea until you see the effect of it and see how someone else interprets it, and you'll go, oh, I didn't see that coming. And then you wind it back in. You say, erase these. We're going to do something different. You keep the awareness, the understanding that this is dynamic. If it doesn't work for the company, for the customer, for every employee, we're going to make some adjustments. Sometimes it stinks to be you today, that there's going to be some repercussion of the way we pay. You go on a call and nobody's home. Well, you don't get a sale today. That's just the luck of the draw. If it is consistently unfair, we're going to change it. That's the communication you make. So like I like to say, it's equally unfair to everybody. It's transparent. It's posted, aligned with their goals, aligned with their goals, aligned with the mission, that it doesn't take you off of what you do. In other words, you would never create a game where you're trying to have people sell stuff that isn't needed and wanted if your mission is to be a high-integrity company. All right, and none of this is going to happen instantly. So be patient and loving with yourself. Okay, let's define a good game. What is a good game? A game worth playing. A good game has rules. The employer-employee manual is a great introduction to rules. Anytime I hear this happened in Hawaii several times this week. Anytime I hear someone say, I have told her 100 times. I can tell her exactly what to do, and she does it, but she will never do it on her own. My follow-up question is always, is that written down? Is there a procedure for that? Are the rules written? Do people know what they're supposed to wear? Are there pictures of your uniform? Until it's written, you can't hold people accountable to them. Just saying. And there's no reason to apologize for rules, because without rules, you don't have a game. Now, pop quiz, for those of you who know me, who helps you edit the procedures that you have or create procedures in the first place? Do you write them all? Who writes them? Pop quiz, let's see who gets the answer. Who writes the procedures? Actually does the pencil on paper? The team. The team, how easy is this? And if you're doing everything, let's say you're doing all the accounting, you sit at the computer and you start typing and talking, and the person who's going to now do it is doing the writing. You're doing it anyway. You're just now getting someone to help you. Isn't that delicious? All right, so there's always rules in the game, and the rules are written. That's another R word. Just kidding. All right. There are rewards. The main course is their salary hourly, whatever their wage is, what's the big chunk of change that they go home and tell whoever's waiting for them at home, this is what I get paid? And then is there dessert? Is there a bonus, a commission for going above and beyond? What is good enough for you people? And if I go above and beyond that, if I exceed sales, if I beat the budget, is there a little something for the effort? That's what dessert is. Start with main course, and you can add dessert. Refine the main course, and then you can add the dessert. Then there's rights, and rights means that within your game, people are free and clear to make a decision. My friend Courtney at Nordstrom's had 500 people who worked for her. Now, she had managers. They didn't all direct report. She had managers and then junior managers. Anytime a new person was hired on her team, she would walk the floor. Quit having meetings in your office. It feels like going to the principal. Stop that entirely. Never have another meeting in your office. Instead, walk around the building. You can find someplace private outside. You can, go for a ride along in their truck. You can go to lunch together. You can talk to them. At some point, share this with every team member. There are rules here at this company, and if you break them, you put your job in danger. If it's in the book, you're off the hook. That's what my friend Al Levy says. If it's in the book, you're off the hook. Just, follow the guidelines. They're there to help you be successful. Not everything is in the book. There will be moments where you'll be called on to make a decision, and I encourage you to make a decision. And here's my promise, is that if you make a decision based on what you think is in the best interest of the customer, you'll be fine. I'll totally back you up. We all will, even if you dig a hole. If you dig a hole, we'll come get you out of that hole. All you got to do is be motivated by what you think is in the best interest of the customer. Fair enough? This way, your team is free and clear to make some decisions. This is what I mean by rights. And don't we want that? So you communicate your vision, your mission, your values. They know what's important to you. Then we have the rules for, 20% of the things that happen out there that constitute 80% of the time. And then you leave them free and clear to make decisions. You're going to be fine. So will they. So the reason are the whys. And I say the whys because your why and their why need to have enough alignment for this to be a win for them, for this to be a game worth playing. I think I've given the example maybe on this call that one of the guys I rode along with wanted to be a movie star. Plumbing company in New Jersey. He's not. He was going to have to move. His dream wasn't aligned with the company's dream. And when he was empowered to go make his dreams come true, you know what? It worked out great. So not everyone will stay. When you find that alignment with your whys, then they will play the game to higher levels. So good. Okay, so let's unpack the toolbox a little bit. And by the toolbox, I mean the replay page. And I want to dig into this. This is new content for today that we really haven't hammered out. So I'd like to spend the next chunk of time we've got together talking about different ways that different types of compensation could work, particularly when it comes to the org chart. So what I'm going to do is go back and forth between the org chart a little bit and talk about these different ways to pay. This will get really good if you guys get involved. So if you would type in questions and ask for some clarification or share what you're doing, we can move into some Q&A here to help me make this information appropriate for you. Fair enough. If you're on the call, let's take advantage of what's going on with you. So when it comes to hourly commission, bonus, contest, salary, I want to jump over to the positions on the org chart and talk about some of the ways that I like to pay and why, and then you can share some thoughts. So I like paying hourly to the foundational positions on the org chart. So, for instance, at Zoom, we pay hourly our service techs. They come in at you know, the apprentices get paid. I think they get paid some. I'm not positive where we are right now, so I'm going to make some of these numbers up. But I'm in the ballpark. They get paid something like $15 an hour, and then there's 18. Now, if there's a junior tech and then a senior tech level, there are variations in these levels. Like, it doesn't just go 18, 25 to 28 to field supervisor. There are other raises available, but they're all for very behavioral things. So if you pass a licensing requirement, suppose you're an HVAC contractor and you pass your NAIT certification, that behavioral check-offable moment could have a bump in raise. Some people pay more for CDL license, a driver's license with more information. If you've been with the company X number of years, you may get, you know, some tenure may be a reason to pay hourly. But the idea is that as you move up the org chart, the hourly wage will increase based on your moving through the ladder in a very objective way, not subjective. We don't pay raises on good attitude. Fair enough? So I don't talk about salary at all until the manager level. The danger with salary is that there's a couple things. You know that right now, for those who are in the restaurant business on this call, there is some concern about salary managers in the restaurant business because they're working more than 40 hours a week. Salary can be a way for us to abuse team members. Salary can become slavery. That we pay them for 40 hours, but the expectation and the actual requirements of that job require them to work more than 40. I think it's a legitimate thing to put a timeout on. Hey, wait a minute. It's safer to pay them hourly. When in doubt, if you pay hourly, I don't think you're going to go wrong for most positions on the org chart, except for the very highest levels, for the base pay. Okay, now we're going to talk about sales in just a second, but for the base pay for production people, I like to pay salary. What will happen is when you hit overtime, you and they should be aware that working more than 40 hours a week may cut into their life. You don't want to build a company where people are consistently working more than 40 hours a week. I have a franchisee who I am counseling about this. The culture at his company is that they work a lot of hours overtime. As soon as that becomes the culture at your company, they start buying and living their life as if that overtime will always be there. When the overtime goes away, they're taking a cut in pay. Let me know if this is landing. I'm not getting a lot of feedback yet. So when it comes to hourly, paying attention to overtime is a great check and balance for how you're paying people, because when they're into overtime, you're going to be paying time and a half or more, which could tweak your profitability, and we're also starting to create a life that could jump out of balance. What do you think of this? Agreed. Okay. Good. Problems, challenges. I am not a fan of paying piecemeal. I'm not a fan of paying service tech straight commission. I just don't like it. There's a couple reasons why. Service techs, I don't want to put them in a position. I want to be careful of rewarding the right stuff. I don't want to put them in a position where it's Thursday, they haven't made a sale yet, and they start to look at Mrs. Fernwicky as their house payment. My job as the owner of the company is to create enough calls and to have enough techs to service the customer. And that can be translated to any business. There's going to be the demand for the service and the ability to make good on that promise with the sale. The service and then the people to fulfill the service. So sale and delivery. So it doesn't all, I mean, you can still pay a guy Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, there's been no sales, and you're going to start to feel it as the owner. What needs to be fixed? Is it the guy? Is it training? Is it that we're not getting the right number of calls? I mean, there's a dilemma there. You could lose money. I like to pay the team for showing up to work. That's the exchange. You show up, and we'll figure this out together, and you will get paid for that. piecemeal or straight commission for some of these frontline positions can make you lazy. Well, if it's not busy, they're not getting paid. At least the company isn't eating it. The reality is, time is marching on. Overhead bills are paying, are accruing. It isn't okay to have someone on your team who isn't getting paid because they're not producing, because you're losing time. Does that make sense? Talk to me, kids. Okay, let's see what we've got. Jeff says, we started paying attention to overtime. A couple team members were upset because they'd gotten used to the overtime. Jeff, I've seen that so many times. They buy the boat. They buy the toy. They buy the, they enroll in the dance classes. They get used to that. So if that happened, you may want to wean down, or you may make it an option that the guys who love overtime are welcome to take extra shifts from other guys, but you're still going to pay attention to this life balance. Most of the time, places where there's a lot of overtime, I've noticed, I don't have any stats to back this up, but I've noticed there's a lot of single people. That it's not a family-friendly company when there's a lot of overtime. Just saying, if that's what you have in mind. And then Jason wrote, when as owners we're working 60 to 120 hours a week, we forget and drag people along. Aw. Jason, I want to work for you just because you said that. And it makes me cry to say this, but that's something you should tell somebody. That I don't notice sometimes that, you know, I'm in, it's my company, I'm here, and I expect that of you, but it's that we're not in the same position with this. What do you want out of your life? You may not want to work 120 hours a week, am I right? You could get a conversation going with this, and man, it would make me love you. Now, Perry says, hey, it's overtime. I'm not a fan of overtime. Let's let the person have a life. Go to the gym. Go do something with their family. Have a spiritual practice if they want that. You know, there's more to life than work for all of us, and it's a good reminder. Okay, now, paying mostly piecework, I don't love it. Jim, I'm not saying you're wrong. There's different ways of doing it. Here's the thing to watch for. Is this idea that because I'm paying them piecework, if they're slow, I'm not paying them this week, we still need to keep the production up. You may be aware of that. This may be a non-issue for you. Another thing to check is what they got paid. This goes to the big panties, Jim. Make sure with your attorney if you got audited. Is the way that we pay going to pass muster with whatever laws of the state we have for minimum wage? And for me, sometimes the juice ain't worth the squeeze to translate all that. I'd rather just pay them hourly and then move them up the ladder. But it's not impossible. Paying in piecework can work, right, if your job costing, if it's fair, if we know what's good enough for you. And then for those who do more, they can make more. There is some opportunity with piecework, Jim, that complies with some of the requirements for a better way to pay. Oh, here's a really, really good comment from Josh. You don't know what your employee's spouse thinks of your business when you allow overtime too often. There is a voice at home that will cause a great employee to leave. Let me know if you've ever had this happen. He finally or she finally comes and says, my husband is just not having it. The overtime, the way I pay is too confusing. He doesn't think I'm getting a good deal here. When that voice at home is not clear on how you get paid, on the why, on how it serves their family, that is a hugely stressful situation for your employee. So great idea to have once a quarter, whenever is necessary, twice a year may be enough, where you have a family day, you go through how things are paid. When you have a new employee come on board, there is a meeting with the partner or the spouse, whoever's waiting for them at home, to have them come in and say, this is how you get paid, this is how you can count on it. Now, some of you may have people who have mom and don't know money. They don't want their spouse to know. For me, that's just not the culture I'm going to create. So I'm not worried about that. That's not my responsibility to figure out. And in fact, I can call someone out to a higher standard. Fair enough. Okay, so how do you start a conversation with your staff about pay changes? Cindy, the information from last week is the very best I can share. Go for a side-by-side, go for a ride-along, walk along with them, build a little affinity. Affinity means degree of liking. Sometimes you say, I'm going to hang out with you all day, and the instant response is not a lot of liking. It's a lot of like, what, did I do something wrong? Do you not trust me? Right? So you spend a little time together. Hey, let me see what's going on in this department. Let's make sure that if there's something that's in your way, if there's a rock in your road, hey, I'm one who could help get it out. We could put it on the list of projects, or we could handle it right now, and you and I could get to know each other. I could make a friend today, or we could deepen our relationship today. I'd have a conversation like that. And then you start talking to individuals on your team, and you say, what do you like about the way you get paid? What do you not like? Now, what we're afraid of is that they're going to say, I wish I made $150,000 a year. And you might say, duly noted. Duly noted. What is it in your life that you're looking for? What kind of dream and goal do you have? This job may not be the end of the road for you as far as your career goes, but it may help you move in that direction. Find out more about what they want. It doesn't, you don't have to make all their dreams come true with this particular position, but if you know their dreams, then there is the opportunity for the two of you to determine if there is a career path at your company. Here's a story that may be of service. Once upon a time at one of my clients, there was a CSR who was super ambitious. CSR, customer service rep, super ambitious. So he moves up the ranks and he becomes a CSR and a dispatcher. So he's in both positions on the org chart. Then he moves over to dispatcher, which was a higher paying position. Then he asked about the marketing manager position. He said, can I do this position? And the owner said, well, I'm not quite sure what that position is. I'm going to help you figure it out. Let's figure out what the marketing manager does. This is the employee leading up, man. This is exactly how it happened. It was a pretty cool situation. So the owner and the team member, I'm going to call him Brad. Brad and Jim get together and they figure out what the marketing manager is going to do. And lo and behold, the marketing manager becomes Brad. And Brad establishes the call center. So he's got the CSRs, he's got the IT over there also reported to the marketing manager, and their website people and their vendors for marketing, and Brad was crushing it at the marketing manager position. But there was a limit to how much the owner was willing to pay for that position. The highest paid person at the company was a field supervisor or a salesperson, a system engineer. Let me see if we've got this on this. Okay, system engineer, which is a salesperson. I am a big fan of the salespeople making more than other positions. Until a sale happens, none of us have anything to do. I'm fine with aligning the highest paid positions with salespeople of any company. So Brad gets his eyes on the system engineer position. Gets his eyes on the system engineer position, and he says, "I want that position." And so the Jim, the owner, said, "Well, in order to sell the stuff, you're going to have to get some product knowledge about what it is that we do." And so he actually broke his game. He went down to a lower level, and he became an installer. And he worked his way up to lead installer, and then he became the system engineer. And at this point now, he could become a sales manager or service manager. He is crushing it as a system engineer. His dreams are coming true. He's making $120,000 a year. Thank you very much. For right now, that job is working for him. But the important thing to notice is that if a CSR comes up to you and says, well, how come I don't make as much as a service tech or another position in the company or as a salesperson, you might ask, is that something you're interested in? Would you like to see what that career path could look like? And perhaps their career could develop in another area of your company. Isn't this exciting? So, Cindy, that's how you'd start the conversation, right? One-to-one with people, take notes, duly noted. Then you're going to flesh out the org chart. There's some really good information in the videos that we've gone through. And sometimes when you're getting started, you get a thought on a new topic. You get a thought, and then the webinar is going past while you're thinking the thought, and you miss something. Does that ever happen to anybody? I listen to tapes over and over again and go, I did not hear that the first time through. So to revisit these webinars is going to be really helpful for you and your team. Okay. Overtime is optional for us. Okay, then optional means we don't give them a hard time if they don't do it, but if you do want to do it, we have some overtime opportunities available. Then you can't beat them up. If you lose money on overtime, Scott, that would be your job as the owner to manage that or raise your prices to accommodate that. But I love that. Overtime is optional, and it allows some employees to earn some extra money. Delicious! Okay, very cool. So let's go back up to... let's go back up to some of the tools. Hourly is your safest bet. Now, in addition to hourly, you can do bonus. You can do contest. Let's talk about commission for a minute before I dive into that. Okay, let's look at the time. Okay, we're good. Okay, so going back to the org chart, straight out salespeople in any company, I like a hardier portion of commission. 100% commission can be a little tough. One of the things you might do is say, I'm going to pay, I call this a hungry salary. I'm going to pay you a hungry salary, meaning that if a salesperson, the personality who's going to really do well in sales is one that is comfortable with some risk. Fair enough? That has been my understanding. So I'm looking for people who could take a lower or no salary. I generally recommend some hungry salary, a base salary, and then a hearty portion of commission. Now, I'm going to dive deep on percentages for those of you can take this. There are some guys on the call, guys and gals on the call who come from construction or service companies. So in the financial blast, I dig into this a little bit more. As you put together your financials and your budget and you're looking at dollars and percentages on a monthly basis, you'll start to see the patterns of percentages of costs that work for your company, okay? Now, in service companies, I'm going to give you some general guidelines. The service tech's wages as a percentage of sales and their bonuses, we look for that amount to be somewhere in the 18 to 20% of sales, all right? Now, with a salesperson and an install crew, I look for the combination of the installers and the salespeople to be 20 to 22%. These are not, this is not Moses and the tablets here. This is just some guidelines that I've used to good success. In other words, that I can have those percentages and still hit 15 to 20% net profit on the bottom line. So what that means with the salesperson is that the salesperson plus the installer is going to equal that 20 to 22%. Let's say 22%. I could pay the installers 12% of sales and the salesperson 10% of sales in some combination of salary and commission and still nail it. But it's going to be that combination. In that area of your business, we've got two direct cost people, cost of goods sold people, the salesperson and then the installer. For a service techs who sell and install, it's going to be the one number. So that was a little bit of a deep dish. Can I repeat that? Yeah, I can. All right, we got some questions. Let me dig into the questions for a minute, all right? We're good. We're just going to roll right through this to the bottom of the hour. What we're doing for topic and what we're doing for Q&A is going to go, you know, just start rolling right now. So let me address what Perry said. Perry said, let's jump into overtime again for a minute. For us, overtime means we're running behind schedule. It means I didn't estimate the job. I underestimated the project. And so they also tend to work slowly when making time and material. Some do, some don't. Most of the time what I find, Perry, is if they know the game, they'll play the game. So if you tell them, I've got 36 hours in this job, my overarching feedback has been that people will play. Okay, let's get this job done in under 36 hours. They want to do it. They want to play. They will do it even if you don't bonus them for doing that, although I encourage you to, at some point, But for starters, before you kick in a bonus for bringing a job in at or below bid, if you've never done it before, keep score first. I think I said in a previous call, let me reiterate this too, with these scorecards, don't do the bonus program until you have some baseline on the scorecards. What is good enough at your company? You figure that out by keeping score for a while, for a quarter perhaps. When your job costing, let's measure. I put this many hours in the job, how many hours are they coming back in, and let's talk. We plan, we execute, we debrief, and we figure out how to bid better. If you're, you know, bidding way too many hours, well, then you could be more competitive by cutting out the number of hours. If you're not giving them enough hours, you might have to change your marketing and sales strategy or who you're working for to come up with jobs that are just a little, there's a little more breathing room in to make them more realistic. So again, is it ever good enough for you? If it is 36 hours in the job and they bring it in 36 hours, I'm not going to stand over them and go, you could have done it in 32. I don't know if that's resonating or not, but I'm, you know, most of the time, don't focus on the one or two guys who seem to work slow. I also know guys who look like they're working slow and they work really, really fast. My husband is one of these guys. I never see him move quickly, but at the end of the day, there's a pyramid standing in my front yard. So, you know, use the statistics, use the measurements of behavior. That will help a lot. Alan, I will repeat that those percentages in just a second, but let's I want to talk about Cindy. So, Cindy, your comment is, you said it in meaning me, I said it in an earlier meeting, not to change the hourly wage of a current employee or the commission. Don't change anything until you've got a plan, unless there is a deep inequity. In other words, that somebody's making a 10% commission and somebody else is making an 8% commission, and the only reason why is the one guy asked for it and the other guy never did. So don't change anything until you've got the basic game plan of how you're going to pay. And I would recommend that you test drive. This is more work, baby, but it's safer. You could test drive the new way you pay on paper or in a spreadsheet to make sure that if you change it, that person isn't going to take a hit, and then you could show them the data. You might even have them help you keep score and track. Well, if we paid you this way, how much would it be? And engage that person in the game. So even with commission, even with hourly, however you're paying your team, hit the pause button with them and say, I'm going to take a couple of months to get this figured out. So we're not going to do any raises. We're not going to do anything different until I do a more thorough plan for how we're going to pay at this company. And you can do that for one position or one area of your org chart before you move to the next one. Let me know if that's resonating, like if everybody got that. Okay, so about changing the way you pay, I want it to be thoughtful, I want it to be planned, I don't want you to surprise anybody, individual meetings, get the org chart organized, get rid of the inequities, lay it out, maybe even test it, and you can do it one area at a time. All right? Now, I want to talk about like inside people, like the office team versus salespeople and production people. There's a lot to talk about. Let me. Do you want me to repeat, Alan and Chip, did you want me to repeat those percentages? I think I might be able to show you something. You know what? I'm going to do this. I'm going to show you a financial quick check that has the percentages on it. And I'm going to wait till the very bottom of the hour to do that. All right, and it'll be a little extra credit, and we'll record it too if you have to jump off on the hour, that's fine. But it's just going to take me a minute to go open one up, so hang tight on the percentages. Is that what you're asking about, Alan and Chip? And okay, and understood, thank you, Cindy, yay, please, okay, yes, the percentage. Okay, I will show you a quick check. It's going to be easier than me repeating that without some mass, you know, something to point at, so we'll do that. Yay, okay. So let me just jot that down, FQC, and I'll just show you an actual one. I just want to do so that I don't bust anybody's anonymity. Fair enough? All right, so let's go back up. Let's go back up here too. Jeff's name keeps coming up. That's because I want to put Jeff on the phone at some point. Ha-ha! So hang tight, Jeff. You're going to be up next. Let's talk a little bit now about commission. The way I generally pay commission for the service tech, or I usually pay it on sales greater than, and this is what I put in the on the replay page in that, let me show it to you. In this document, this my compensation plan, let me find it here. Dollar scorecard. Sample rules of the game right here. The sample rules of the game that I put up here, the way I generally pay for the service techs is that the service techs, the people who are selling and installing, so this is going to do with our contractor buddies, but we can make some, I can jump to the restaurant industry with this really easily too, so hang tight. So if the service techs, if their goal is $1,000 a day, $1,500 a day, $3,000 a day, whatever it is based on your budget, based on keeping score for a while, getting a baseline, right? What is good enough for you? If they exceed that, then that's where the bonus dollars come from. There's a little more to it. I want you to read the document. I've got a couple of qualifiers. They have to have a qualifying close rate. We use a qualifying labor as a percentage of sales. You could use billable hours or some other production measurement to make sure that a guy isn't moving too slow, Perry, right? Okay, for the service X. And then the bonus is in sales that I wasn't counting on. In other words, all I need them to deliver is to goal. If that's $1,500 a day, and for the week or for the month they've gone beyond their sales goal, that's extra money to me that they created. I will share some of that with them. But it's a safe way to do it because the house wins first. That's why I like it. I'm just not the smart. I'm not the sharpest knife in the basket. So if the house wins first, then those extra dollars are something I could share. So we give, in the example I gave you on the replay page, we give 10% of sales above goal back to the service tech on a monthly basis. There's other ways you can do this, but just that philosophical concept. With straight-out salespeople, the hungry salary might be $36,000 a year or $24,000 a year. And then they get benefits and some other things that you provide at your company. Then the bulk of their income is going to come from commission. Your training, your marketing, your sales processes, that's what they need to learn to be successful enough to hit whatever their minimum goals are. But the more they sell, as long as it's ethical, as long as they're using your procedures, the more they can make. So having a hearty, the more you make, the more you pay opportunity, more commission at a straight out sales position makes sense to me. Fair enough? So I'm changing it up along those lines. Meaning that the different positions are going to be rewarded for the behaviors that are aligned with what their responsibilities are. I know this is a lot of content. Let me add more. Let's go over to the office for a minute. Like, so on the org chart, under the financial manager, we may have a controller, accounts receivable, accounts payable, someone doing HR. Most of the time, the positions in the office are part-time position, so one person could have more than one responsibility. Let's say Bobby does HR as well as does accounts receivable. Now, on the replay page, let me show you this so you can study up. On the replay page, I have a terrific sample salary levels for the office. I have implemented this in many, many companies to good effect. And the way it works here is that for each position on the org chart that you master, there is an associated bump in pay. So you might come and start as a CSR, and that pays $12, $15 an hour, or minimum wage, whatever. And then for your mastery of the AR procedures, the AR manual, once you have demonstrated that you can do that job, then you get a dollar or two an hour raise based on now the depth you're bringing to the office. this can work really well. And then it makes very clear that the office positions start at 12, they end at 20. That is the career path. That's the most you could make at the office at this time. For a lot of my businesses, a lot of my companies, unless they move out of those positions, it's not a $150,000 a year job. But someone there may say, could I become a marketing manager? And you go, well, we don't really have a marketing manager yet. It's me. But let's explore that. What would that look like? Is there a way to add additional dollars if you're going to take on marketing tasks? And then you'd work it through in the budget, and you may be able to come up with more bonus, all right? Or more wage for that person. Is this making sense? So what did I do with it? Oh, here it is. Current slide. All right. So hourly and commission, I don't pay commission to the inside team because unless they're making sales. Now, for those of you who CSRs actually make sales over the phone, and for me, sales is generally defined by getting agreement and payment. If there's a sale, there's an opportunity for a commission or a bonus, something based on the sale. But if there's not a sale, I'm usually loath to attach some commission to it. Now, on Howard's program, which is also on that replay page, the senior tech makes a hearty commission, and the junior tech does make a bonus based on the senior tech sales. The key to that is we do know who's making the sale and identifying those people whose behaviors are leading them to make sales. If I just bonus someone on someone else's sales and I muddy the water as far as the tracking goes, I don't really know who made the sale. I don't know who to help. So I may look at a guy who's a junior guy just crushing it on commissions, but what happened is he's splitting the sale with someone. Howard's program works because they are clear on whose scorecard is reflecting that sale, who's making the sale, and that a junior guy has the opportunity to move into a senior position because he can make more money and he is learning how to do that side by side with a senior guy. Do you see the nuance there? Does that make sense? Okay. The financial quick check is in the financial blast, but I'm happy to send you a sample financial quick check. There's more to the story, Jason, and that will not be included in this program. That would be part of the financial blast. But I have given the financial quick check to people who figured it out. They didn't need any more help from me. And so if you don't, then knock yourself out. If you do have more questions, that would be a really great reason to check it out over on the Inner Circle vault. Fair enough. So I will send an FQC, just a basic FQC, and then some meeting instructions for the FQC. I give that away all the time. I'm happy to do it. All right, on service tech, how much incentive versus hourly rate? I did, Chip, I've got my program up there. That is the one that we use at Zoom. So their hourly rate, they can make up, I think, to $28 or $30 per hour. It's built into the budget. There is a goal associated, right? All my guys can get to senior level without blowing me up, which means I make more money as a company when they don't make, when they're not at senior level. However, I'm encouraging them all to get at senior level because that's what I built my budget for. I'm fine getting them up the ladder. I don't want to incentivize me to keep them lower. So they can move up the ladder, and once they max out at senior tech level, then it's $30 an hour plus that 10% of sales above goal. Okay? Is it too complicated to tie the dispatch to the service tech earning bonus? Jason, that's a really good question because the dispatcher, when you think about rewarding the right stuff, the dispatcher does have a big impact on profitability, on downtime, on how many jobs those guys can go on. The dispatcher is critical in maximizing the billable hour. That is their statistic. So some kind of measurement, and there's several ways to do this, but some kind of measurement of the number of billable hours that are spent, that are created at your company is a very good statistic for the dispatcher. So an hourly position plus a bonus for the billable efficiency factor or the billable number of billable hours that you can create. So I don't do it on total sales for the dispatcher because the dispatcher doesn't ask Mrs. Fernwicky, would you like me to get started? Sign here. And then shut up and armpits filled with sweat. That is the sales moment. You see where I'm going? So I generally don't reward people for sales. Now there's a caveat that I'm going to bring up in just a second. But what I like to do is the people who are making sales are going to get a hearty sales commission, whatever that means. And that's going to be getting agreement and payment of some kind. Now the dispatcher does not do that, but does have a big impact on the company, no doubt. And there is a game to be played, and perhaps the billable hour could be it. But you know what I would do? I would do a side-by-side with my dispatcher. And I would say, why don't we look at this job, what you do every day, and find out what makes you great? What are the behaviors that really create a good outcome for the guys and for you? Could we find a measurement that would allow us to create a game and a bonus for you? Now, if you were open to that, they'll figure it out. I'm not kidding. And then you say, you create a little safety net. You say, okay, we're going to try it. We'll try it for 60 days because there may be some unknown consequences, something we didn't think through. And if it doesn't work, I'm going to reel it back in, but we'll do something else to reward behavior that goes above and beyond. Let's start with a baseline. Let's figure out what a good day versus a bad day looks like. What is good enough around here? And then should you exceed some statistic in your job, like billable hour or billable hour efficiency, there may be an opportunity for bonus there. Fair enough? Oh, that's such a good question, but I would not try and figure this out without your dispatcher. Very, very cool. All right, so I talked about the office people. Unless they're making a sale, this is why I like part-time in the office. I like to have flexibility and some benefits that may allow someone who is ambitious to at least learn the ropes on accounting. Wow, we're going to send you to a class. We're going to teach you how to do accounting. We do open book management here. There are a ton of benefits for being in this position, even if it's not a career position. And because you're going to document and use procedures, et cetera, then it's going to be easier for you to accept some turnover in this position. Oh, going back here, contests are fun. If you've never done anything, do a contest. The person who sells the most desserts today, the most cookies today at Subway, gets to park in the manager's parking spot, gets a $50 gift certificate, make it a $10 gift certificate to Starbucks. Do little games and contests. When I was a restaurant manager, I will tell you, I played a contest every day. Some of them were operational, and some of them were sales. So an operational one would be the busser who had the best loaded bus. What do you call it? Oh, I'm blanking. What you put the dirty dishes in? Okay, I'm just feeling senior today. You know what I'm talking about? Basket? Okay, yeah, whatever. It's not a basket, but it's what they take to the table and they put all the table stuff up and they can take it back to the kitchen. Or a food server who has a particularly well-designed tray if you do tray service. The sales contest too. As a team, could we do a sales contest? Yes. Team contests have a downside in that there could be someone who's skating. So contests are, I'm just less attached to them being perfect. Make them simple, make them fun, make them for the day, make them for the week. Let me type this in. There is a resource called, I'm going to type this in the chat box, and it's up to you to jot this down. I will not ask anyone to send this in an email. The Friedmangroup.com. This guy has a book of 100, or it's either 100 or 101 retail games and contests. And they can be applied, you can edit these for any company, but it gives you a lot of ideas for nicely crafted games that are based on a behavior you want more of. One of my favorite contests is to do a scavenger hunt in the trucks. So, and you have people in the office do it too, and the goal of the contest is to increase product knowledge. What is a Fluid Master 135? Okay, then somebody has to go find that. It's just kind of a cool thing. So contests are any kind of behavior that you want to just turn the focus to that you're going to create some kind of little game about, and the prize does not even have to be a cash prize. It's just the cherry on top. It's dessert. It's sweetener. Withhold salary until you are a legitimate manager, and be careful in those cases to not make those people into slaves. 40 hours a week is a reasonable amount of week to work. So even our service manager at Zoom is still on hourly, because the salary will turn him into a slave with the amount of hours he's currently working. Just saying. Not saying we won't do it, but that's been our reason for not making it a salaried position. Subcontracts piecemeal. Make sure it's legitimate subcontracting. Just because you want to pay them as subcontractors, there's a lot of rules involved with calling someone a subcontractor. And they don't pass muster if you get audited from the Labor Commission in your state or with the IRS. So check and make sure that you are following, you know, put your big panties on for that. When it comes to ownership, be very, very, very cautious. I have lost count of the number of weird relationships. I've worked with clients, now they have to unwind an ownership opportunity, and it would have been just so much easier to part ways. Be very, very cautious of ownership. We will probably do another course on how to create the highest level opportunities at your company as far as paying. When in doubt, don't do it, and let your team know that at some point you'd like to explore an ESOP or an employee-owned company. I'd like to create next locations. It is part of my intention. I just don't know how to do that yet. I'm going to study up. I'm going to take the courses. I'm going to go look at other people's companies and get some information. Don't overpromise here. Now, when it comes to profit sharing, let me share this. You could do something fun here. Instead of a yearly bonus for 2017, what you could do is a very modest percentage of profit that you give to employees once the company hits theirs. This is arbitrary. I don't think it's going to be as motivating as an individual or a small team game. But what can happen is if you are blowing it out of the water, and on a quarterly basis, you said the company needs to hit a minimum of 15% net profit. Now, I make a lot of decisions as to what we spend overhead on. There are a lot of things out of your control here. My promise is to do a good job, good enough, that we can hit that 15% net profit and then some. And when we do, any profit above 15%, I will share a percentage of that with you. Okay, now this is higher level stuff. If you've done something like this, you want to send me what you've done, great. We can talk about it at office hours, and we can also talk about it on the next call or in a private call. Fair enough? Oh, it's a bus tub. Thank you, Scott. Yes, that brown gray container. Yeah, I'm just feeling kind of senior. Yes, exactly. Not the heaviest one. We don't want them to break, but just a nicely choreographed one. That's a subjective contest, but it's just an example of the kind of things I would do. Okay. Now, we are getting close to the bottom of the hour. I do want to bring Jeff on board for a moment because Jeff and I had a conversation yesterday. So, Jeff, are you ready to report in on your homework? I'm going to open up your microphone. Hello, Jeff. Can you be heard?
All right. Are you there?
Yeah. Hey. Thanks for playing.
Oh, no problem.
All right. So Jeff sent me an email yesterday, and it was about what we had talked about in the previous call. There is a way you're rewarding guys for showing up on time that it just hit you right between the eyes. And he sends me an email about it, and I said, I'm available if you want to call me right now. And we ended up on the phone, which was super fun. So why don't you tell the good people on the call today about our conversation or your thoughts on our conversation and then your assignment.
Well, basically the email was we give a monthly bonus of $50, so $600 a year potentially, if you show up to all your scheduled shifts that month.
And I'm laughing.
Yeah, and it infuriates me, but right now it's part of the culture, and I don't know how to take it away without having something there to give back, but more something that links with their performance and the performance of the company itself. So
okay.
I sent our managers this morning.
Okay, so you did a little group meeting with how many managers? And you've got Tim Hortons up in Canada?
Yeah.
Okay, and so how many managers?
We have six in total. Okay. I just sat down with the one this morning.
Okay.
And just talked to her in general about the current compensation plan, including that $50 bonus. And,
okay, so tell us about how did it go?
Well, she agreed that it is foolish, and she named half a dozen superstars that are there right now that probably aren't feeling great about they're doing so well, and people that maybe shouldn't be with us anymore are essentially getting the same thing.
Ah, what an insight, right?
Yeah.
Was she hesitant to have the conversation? Was it awkward at first, or did you guys jump right into it?
No, we jumped right in. I gave her a little rundown of what we're doing here with this session and just the fact that, I want to, the business is driven by the 40 people on the front line, so we need to figure out a better way to reward them for doing a great job, and right now we're not there by any means.
Did she express interest in helping you figure this out?
Yeah, she was on board and seemed excited about trying to make some changes.
And what about watching these videos? Would that be a nice way for you to introduce her to the overview of how you could do this?
Yeah, we can definitely do that.
And so what's exciting, I think, is, I come from this dirty jobs industry. I do understand restaurants because that was my career before this, but it's been a long time. And, the tools that I have posted up there are pretty specific to business. On the other hand, what is great about that for you is that you could look at these overall concepts and say, how could we translate the philosophy there to what we're doing? At your restaurants, it makes all the difference in the world if there is some appropriate, suggestive selling.
Oh, big time.
When someone says, would you like fries with that, we know what's happening and we usually say no thanks. Or maybe we say yes. Even if you say do it poorly, if you do it every time, you're going to make more fry sales than if you didn't, right?
Yeah.
Right? So in your business, I'll tell you something I heard that I love. Somebody comes in for coffee, and the person on the other side of the counter said to me, what are you hungry for today? Isn't that adorable?
Yeah.
What are you hungry for today? They didn't say, would you like a donut to go with that? So what are you hungry for today? I had just ordered a drink. So, wow. So you guys can play with that. Now, I just heard that, and I'm sharing it with you. They probably have said things that work really well. And if you do side-by-sides and pull a shift and you hear someone say that, you could even have a contest on incorporating a behavior like that and then look at the stats of something. Now, that's pretty high level. You see where I'm going? But you could do it in a contest, and it would just be fun. You could do it for the week and see who comes up with a really nice way of making a suggestive sale, maybe one that you use in a specific situation you don't use every time, or maybe something that's a really great default. So your team will figure this all out. That was my overarching encouragement to Jeff yesterday. How is this landing? Like, I didn't tell Jeff how to change the way he paid. I told Jeff, why don't you talk to a manager? And you did your homework. Thank you very much.
Have no problem.
Yay. Any other thoughts to share as a result of our conversation and your conversation with your manager?
I'm just looking forward to sitting down with the other five, and when we've got some long-term supervisors and some long-term team members, I wouldn't mind bouncing some ideas off or just getting their feedback, kind of laying it out. Here's what I'm thinking long-term. I don't have any details yet. What are your thoughts?
I love this so much. Now, it is the bottom of the hour, and so I'm going to shift over to the FQC. If you can stay on for a minute, this will make some sense, because it also gets, that's the coffee. That's why I thought I'd put that on there. You know, make this uncomplicated. I did want to, oh, this is something I wanted to share. This was from Hawaii. If you think you have trouble getting your guys to show up in uniform, I want you to take a look at this picture. This is to everybody on the call, Jeff, not just you.
Yep.
Okay, but I'll ask you, why do you think they wear that? Why do they not balk about that and say that it's uncomfortable or itchy or chilly or whatever? Look at what they're wearing. And everybody on the call, consider, this is what I thought of right away as I'm watching the luau. But I thought, look at the costumes. So what do you think has to happen in this business? Because it's a business. What do you think has to happen in this business for those guys to wear this costume?
I guess they're motivated to look beyond the yellow skirt and the headdress there to do what needs to be done, and there's got to be something on the other end when they jump off that stage that makes it all worth it.
There's something there. I don't know what it is until I ask the guy, right? So I'm going to speculate here. I bet it has something to do with their heritage, their culture, their families, the honor. It is more than putting on a feathered headdress. And do you see, when you elevate everything, like in my business, we look nice because the industry of drain cleaning has done us a disservice. People think drain cleaners are going to smell and be disgusting, but that's not who we are. And so we have a responsibility to show up in a way that surprises people, that elevates what we do to the professional level that it deserves. And those are conversations we have, so it isn't just all about there's a stain on your shirt. That would make me just want to, like, not go into work. I don't want to have those conversations. I want to have conversations about honor and pride.
Yeah.
Okay? So I want to show you guys a procedure, and then I'm going to jump into the quick check right here. Okay, it was brought up, what does a procedure look like? And I thought, oh, let me just show you what a procedure looks like. Remember the org chart, the position descriptions? The position descriptions are the list of responsibilities for each position on the org chart in the company, and then that position description springboards you to the procedures that help you do those things. You put the procedures in a binder, you got a manual. You put the procedures in an electronic folder, and you got a manual. All right, so here is a standard procedure, and this is what they look like. Somebody, like if you were going to do one in the accounting, someone sits and does it, and calls out what they're doing. Okay, first thing, you go to QuickBooks, and at the home page, in the vendor section, enter bills and expenses. Make sure bill is selected, not credit. You can almost see someone doing it while they're calling out. Select vendor using pull-down menu. Date, this date on the invoice, reference number, amount due, boom, boom, boom. Save and close. This creates a payable, so then to pay your bill, boom, boom, boom. You know, I'll tell you a clue, too. I don't use numbers as much as I use bullets, because sometimes I screw up the numbers. So I just use bullets now. This is an older one. Just a bulleted list. Numbers are fine. Bullets are fine. But that's a procedure. And if you were going to be gone and someone found this, the likelihood that they could actually do that job is higher. But if I'm telling you, it's never going to happen. I wanted to show you that. Okay, now, you can politely say, Ellen, I've given you all the time that I had budgeted for today, and say goodbye. And for those of you who are going to stay on, give me just one moment to play, to find this FQC, and I will send this out in the, I'll put it in the chat box and on the questions. And that one, we could put up on the, we could put it up on the replay page, FQC and the meeting agenda. But that's not, that's as deep as I'm going to go into it, because that's another course of conversation, unless you're just smarter than me and can figure it out. All right, so let me find one. I want to find a real world one so that you can see how this goes. I'll give you a sample one, but let me find a fun one. That's what this one looks like. This one's a little fancy, but I'm gonna risk it. All right, you ready? All right, so check this out. Let me know if you can see my screen, and I will count on you to type in some questions. All right, so this is an FQC. It's a fairly sophisticated company. They have three departments. Okay, and so there's, and they also have three locations. So they collapse them for the sake of this business. But see, like Tim, something like this could work for you. You would have individual stores, and then you'd collapse them onto a main one. But for this one, this is their month-to-date, their budget, their month-to-date sales. This is the first column, then compared to the budget, then compared to the year-to-date, and then compared to the budget. Now, what's interesting is that their goals here for labor, their goals are 19%. Don't bother with the first month. Like, let's just look at the budget and the goals, because that's what we were talking about for percentages. Their budget for labor is 19, or about 20%, and for materials, like 16.4. Then for the add-on replacement, it's 13.6, and then their comfort advisor. So this is what I mean, where the comfort advisor is their salesperson. Their installers were 13.6. This is their budget. This is their numbers. Now, if we were round these, you write these down. I'm not writing them down. If you're interested, for the service department for contracting, 18 to 20% labor is a percentage of sales, just gross wages. That doesn't have payroll taxes or benefits or anything else, gross wages. Then for the install department, 12 to 14%. The comfort advisors, 8 to 12%, but the total being 22%, is a good place to start with your budget until your understanding of your numbers eclipses mine. And you'll only get that by doing the numbers month after month after month. And we go deep dish in that with the financial blast. All right. And then in their new construction, which I'm not a fan, these are the stats that they had here. They have add-on replacement, comfort advisor. I don't know what the blue one was. I think this might have been the owner or something. Look, there's nothing in it. I don't know what it was. Okay, so there's the salesperson plus the field team, and in this case, it's equaling about 20%. So that's making that's aligned with what I found to be true as far as their budgeting goes. Now, here's the really cool thing about doing the better way to pay. Let me pull this back for everybody now. If you start with the foundational positions, get those lined up. Ultimately, the manager's bonuses can be on this scorecard, the sum total of their team doing really well. So you start with the foundational positions on the org chart is where I would start. Get those jobs laid out, get the paths laid up, and then you look at the managers. And if the people on your team are winning, then that's your opportunity to make a bonus too. And their bonus is based on the budget. So keep this in mind, the dovetail. If this is the budget for service for a month, and I'm going to say they have five guys, so divided by five, what's that, 21,000 or 22,000 per person. So if all of his guys are hitting goal, then the service manager's goal for sales for the month is 110. Isn't this cool? And so this would be a manager's bonus is then derivative of his team hitting their goals. Now this is you know, if you're still trying to get your org chart done, then so be it. This is higher level stuff. Do the building block positions first. But when you come back through this webinar at some point, right now you're thinking, oh, Ellen, that's too complicated for me, so be it. But note that it will make sense. These things are building on each other. Isn't this exciting? All right. So did I ever? Yeah, I did. Okay. So I am ready to wrap up. Any last thoughts, comments, questions? I don't include payroll taxes, Medicare, any of that labor cost, because it's all derivative. It's all derivative. The driver of that number is gross wages, so I just lump all that stuff down in the bottom under overhead because from an accounting standpoint, it is easier for me. Also, ultimately with my managers, and this is where I learned this in the restaurant business, suppose everybody on my team makes $10 an hour, and I've got five people working, that's $50 an hour. And if I know what my labor as a percentage of sales should be, I can almost do that math in my head as I look at sales for the hour and the fact that I have a $50 labor as a percentage of sales number that I want to work with. That's where I figured that out in the restaurant industry, and it's worked very, very well throughout my career, that when you just use gross wages, the managers can kind of eyeball this stuff. Because labor as a percentage of sales is one of the numbers we keep an eye on. Hey, going back to the dispatcher, that labor as a percentage of sales for the field team may be a qualifier for their bonus. I don't know about that. I don't know. That might be too much of a stretch. The billable hours is probably better. All right, that's a lot of content. It's a lot of information. I hope that you're enjoying this. Any last thoughts before I say goodbye? Gotta run. See ya. Thanks. Thanks for staying on a little later for those of you who did. And I wish you love, peace, lots of money, and the freedom that caused you to start this business in the first place. And your team will make it all happen for you. See you on office hours. Love, love, love.